Good morning, Yokai. Aloha. This is Maurice Meg on 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. And my co-host for today, Tony, otherwise known as Tonji Hanson.
Good
Thanks
morning.
For filling in again for Nick.
Not a problem, Jimbo. Great to be with you again.
Well, Maurice Meg is a weekly show on good news stories, sometimes not so good news stories. And today that might be the situation because we're talking redress. And talking the issues surrounding that around, the abuse and what may or may not come after that is therapy or healing or recognition that the wrong's been done and some sort of right will be put into place. But, in fact, Tonji and I were at a National Redress Roundtable yesterday and what do you reckon, Tonji? It was quite a bit of an eye-opener, really.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it also was very emotional for many people, and a lot of trauma in the room.
Too true.
You know, and we're not just talking about Aboriginal people either. There were a lot of non-Indigenous people in that room.
Yes.
And trauma, sadly, is embedded in our community.
Yes, redress is the process that's come out of the Royal Commission into Historical Incident of Child Abuse. Simply summarised as sex crimes against children. So warning, yeah, you might be triggered by things you're about to hear today, but February there were 35,000 victims nationally applying for the compensation that the Royal Commission recommended, and there's a national redress scheme for those victims that suffered sexual abuse at the hands of people in their institution, whether it be priests and nuns, and a whole range of other perpetrators that have committed sins against our young people. And yesterday's redress, a national redress, was convened by Department of Social Services in Canberra, and they invited a range of people to come and sit down and talk through what they thought of redress, how they got to know about it, and I guess some of the issues surrounding that, but more importantly, where to from here. So today, Tonj, I guess it triggered your trauma because you're also a victim of redress and issues that occurred in missions, and I don't expect you to respond right away, but Tonji, as you know, listeners to Maurice Meg, has been on the show before, probably the youngest Stolen Generation survivor in the country. That must mean he's about 45 or something, but no, I don't think he's that age. He's mid to late 50s, I think.
Yeah, heading towards that end of the scale. But still feel 21, Jimbo. And no, it's a great opportunity. I guess also yesterday was an opportunity for survivors, consumers, applicants to actually voice their concerns of what was working and what wasn't working for them, and how could we improve the service to get better outcomes for those that are applying for this redress, and again re-triggering their trauma, telling their stories again, and it is very emotional for those who are in the room there yesterday.
So, as I said, there were 35,000 victims mid-February who applied for redress around the country. Now, the redress or the compensation scheme that's been made available is really quite a treacherous thing to navigate through, and 150,000 is the maximum that you might be able to be compensated for. The average compensation is around 85,000, but the disturbing data associated with that, and forgive me, I don't normally like these sad, bad stories, but this is the actual truth in life. So out of 35,000 victims across the country, Aboriginal people make up about a third, more than a third. So that sort of suggests that a lot of Aboriginal people Tony's age and older were victims of abuse. 60% were men and 47% were people with disabilities. So it makes you wonder and what sort of country we live in when we allow our children to be abused like this. So 150,000 is the maximum, and sadly you'll probably get that a maximum amount if you can prove how many times you've been penetrated. Again, I told you this is not going to be an easy topic to talk about today, but we'll have a couple of victims, including my co-host Tony, talk about the experience of yesterday. Tony, what I found really quite, really was I think we broke some ice there. We set some trends about white Australians who are forgotten Australians or child migrants coming together with our First Nations people, and some of them saying they've never felt the love. They've probably feel closer to Aboriginal people than their own families. Now, that was something, wasn't it? It was just, I mean, the fellow from Pinjarra who said, look, Noongar people in Pinjarra, they showed me how to hunt kangaroo and cook it. They showed me how to go at her and cook it. Wow, look, I mean, it just sort of made your heart sing, and I thought that was marvellous. And so, you know, I didn't realise at the time, they flew four people over from Brisbane. There were people down from Darwin, and it was just, I thought it was all going to be local, but we made up numbers there, and it was a good day, really. Kicked off at 9:30, and 2:30, we sort of walked out of the Ritz. Now, that's an issue I have a real concern about, the Ritz. Social services politicians decided to have a redress forum at the Ritz. Mm. Barrack Street near the jetty, and I'm thinking, well, where's this money coming from? Oh, I know what. There was a federal minister there. I know what. John, what's his name, was there too, the Attorney General. No, he wasn't. So they had to have a flash place for the politicians.
Exactly. And there were a number of them in the building on other businesses. But it was really nice to hear, you know, the sentiment from our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters that have been on the same journey as us as Aboriginal people in this country. And the connection, the relationship, and you could see the authentic, positive relationship, and how that person spoke that yesterday and said, I'm more closer to the Aboriginal people than my own people.
You know,
and I have a stronger bond to them than my own people, because I came across on a boat many, many years ago.
That's the reality, isn't it? I mean, and what we've come to understand is 155,000 children were stolen from the Empire to all places across the Commonwealth. And the children that came to Australia that were child migrants, we now know 3/4 of the child migrants came to Western Australia. Hence the establishment of Bindoon, Fairbridge, Castledare, Clontarf and Tarden. But I got another slant on that, which, Tony, I think you might agree, is all these children were brought to this country during the White Australia policy.
Yeah.
So what did they come for? To breed us out?
To breed us out.
Oh, let's not talk about that, because our listeners may not like the conversation, but this is the truth. And in fact, Tony and I are involved in a documentary coming up, which will be released in a public viewing on the 28th of April, and it'll be called Genocide in a Wildflower State. Oh, that's going to shake the foundations, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And it's, I think it's already having a ripple effect in our community. Mm. And people are empowered now. They have a voice.
Yep. Now, a lovely lady who was at that forum yesterday, Janisha Knapp, will be joining us shortly. Janisha is a real character in that she's got involved in politics. She's also done some amazing paintings. So for her to come on the show, it's not for her to share her grief or trauma, but it's to tell us how she's dealing with her trauma. And there are a number of people in the room yesterday that are now discovered that they are artistic. And one lady sitting next to me was drawing the whole time she was there. In fact, she gave me the drawing to take home. Mm. So we'll talk to Janisha Knapp a little later. In fact, fairly soon. But it's I think it's one of those interesting things, Eitan, that the trauma that people have experienced, there's got to be a way to work their way through it. You've got your own secret.
Mm.
You've got your own way of dealing with it. We've also got Fred Penny coming on the show today. Fred has sung a song about Luwija. Now, Luwija, you might know as Lois O'Donoghue, which was the name given to her when she was fostered. But when she discovered her mother 18 years later, or when she got to know her mother, she discovered her name was Luwija. And I'm heading across to Adelaide later today for a state funeral in Adelaide because she was stolen too. Like you, brother. Like you, taken yep. from her family, country and culture.
Another one of the family gone.
Yeah.
You know, and that, as I always mention, it's a profound group of children. And we honour her and her family. And I've also lost many other survivors in our community here in WA as well. So, you know, again, it's having that opportunity to reflect upon their lives, their family and their kin, and never forgetting their stories. And that's why it's so great to be here with RTR FM, to be the voice for those people that have gone before us.
Oh, yeah. RTR FM have been a brilliant group of people working with me. They've released their Reconciliation Action Plan. Wow. But, you know, what's the connection from me, myself and I? 52 years ago I met that lovely lady, and I don't look that old, do I? But 52 years ago we worked on the first voice. Now, listeners, 52 years ago we established the first voice in this country. It was called the National Aboriginal Consultative Committee, and I've been involved in every one since, including Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Commission, the First Peoples Congress of Australia, and what was the other one? National Aboriginal Conference. Oh, I'm starting to feel all stressed now because the referendum didn't do anything for that. So 52 years ago, I met up with this lovely lady, and I'll be going to meet with her to see her people and send this lovely woman off to the spirit world. And Fred Penny will come on the show shortly, and he'll be singing a song dedicated to the lovely Luija.
Yep, beautiful song.
Let's go to a song because our first guest is getting ready and probably feeling nervous out there. Janisha Napmara. What's that song, Tonj?
It's called Magic Woman Dancing.
There you go. If you just tuned in, this is Mortish Mag, and our guest today is Janisha Knapp. Good morning, Janisha.
Good morning.
How you going, sister girl?
I'm good.
Well, you know, normally my co-host is Nick Abraham, but he's taking some study leave and got all his assignments to hand in, and Tony Hansen to join me. You saw him yesterday.
You sound right at home, my dear.
Good morning, Auntie, and how are you today?
I'm good, yes, good.
Now, we had a day yesterday that's probably, we don't really want to talk about to a great extent, but I think one of the best outcomes was the connection to non-Aboriginal people that were in the same position and being taken away from their family as children. So that was a very good outcome for me to understand them better, to know we've got allies in child migrants, forgotten Australians, etc. So, Janisha, welcome to our program, Mortish Mag, on RTR FM 92.1 and Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and it was so nice to see you yesterday and for you to watch a documentary we're about to release, but more importantly, how you're dealing with life. So how are you dealing with life after a childhood that perhaps sometimes you don't want to remember?
Life is good at the moment. I think it's understanding where you come from, what was legislated, what was the policy, and how that policy worked, and still working today, as far as I'm concerned, because we see the generational trauma.
Yep.
Come into the effect of our children, grandchildren, and that. But sometimes we struggle, but we bring ourselves back to our culture. We were brought up with faith, and that, so we keep going because we know we can reach out, and with the heartache and the pain, we know that the other population, the wider community, they also suffered under that policy.
For sure. Now, Tonja, you're going to slap me now because I haven't asked her where's your mob and where you're from. Who your mob, where you're from, because we always start off, that's the basics in our culture. So, Janisha, apologies, who's your mob, where you're from?
Yes, I'm from Goring, down at Noangrup. I was born in Noangrup, that's my hometown. I have connections to Manang, right around to Tullerup, Israelite Bay. I think I'm related to everybody in Australia, I think. And yes, and I was, well, actually, I was born in a mission, Narayangrup Mission, and went to Ninoisha and then went back and down and brought up and got kicked out of Roland's mission. But I managed to find my family. I managed to find my bloodlines and songlines and that. And my family is Knapps, Millers and Diners. My grandfather's the Kings, my mother the old Queen, and yeah, it was a good journey in finding out who I am. Mm. A sad journey, but I had to be strong to find it.
And you're a strong Noongar Yoga that's done all this by yourself, and I saw some of your paintings yesterday. So there's a bit of therapy you've instigated yourself. So what does that involve with your painting? I mean, looking at your painting, you spend a lot of time painting. So do you get into a state where you're, it's kind of like, you get into the state of perhaps the spirit world even, and remembering where you were and I guess thinking, I guess taking your mind off things. So that's been how I see the work you're doing. So tell us how that came about when you first started painting.
Well, I was, I think being alone, like the rest of the us mission kids, under that policy, I think it's because we were giving pencils, in the mission and that, for little Christmas gifts, and that was one of our birthday presents and Christmas presents. And when we went to school, the mission school was there, was on Rollins and that. But my sister, she majored in a Bachelor of Fine Arts. Me, I'm just Nana on the block, and this is my healing. She set out to have something because she didn't have children and that, but my children were her children, so. This is a spiritual journey in keeping going. Even after all the trauma I have and that, I could still come back to who I am and connect through art, through my storytelling, through artwork that developed into a healing place for me.
Mm. It's... when we talk about the Bringing Them Home report, we say and summarise the recommendations as truth, justice and healing. The truth is around educating the community, so that's education. The justice is around reparation and or compensation or redress. And then comes healing, and healing, I guess, interpreted by our own mob is understanding where you came from, who your mob is, and you've sort of expressed that quite eloquently. You're born in the same place as my mother, Narayangrup Mission, Goorang. So you'd see some significance then in Woolloomiel and the Stirling Ranges. So does that sort of appear or come to you when you're meditating or thinking about painting your country, your mob?
Well, I was taken away. I don't remember much about down south, but I do remember bits and pieces of Adibody and Knapp and Albert, and my cousin, my sister Lynette Knapp, tells me little stories what we got up to. And I tell you, I was one of those restless kids. I couldn't behave myself. But I was so amazed that, and the flowers I used to touch, and watching the kangaroos bounding it, and trying to catch little lizards and that. I remember bits and pieces, but I draw myself back onto when we used to have conventions and that, and we growing up into teenagers and that. And how we used to go back to some of these conventions and seeing the landscape, and especially up in Brookton and that, and seeing old fellas, that used to tell us and tell me where I come from and who my family mob was, But it was a journey, but look, my art brings me back to, what about this? What about that? You know, we talk about that healing aspect of what it has done for us, you know, and especially with mine.
Mm. So it's kind of, I've got the old brain's thinking now, because you know I've got an old brain, eh? But exhibition, we should be thinking now seriously about the artwork that's coming out of our communities, that from our stolen children, because the artwork that's there, and I'm thinking now about Sharon Egan, who's been involved in Sculptor on the Beach. There's a whole range of talented people that we perhaps, as an organisation, and perhaps as some sort of leadership, which I saw in the room yesterday, that we need to start thinking about how we can promote this better. Have you had an exhibition?
I'm always having it, being asked to, especially with Coburn City Council. Every year I've been asked to. Well, sometimes I'll fill out for Sister Marie Taylor, that sometimes she can't make it and that. And I do a little bit of Welcome to Country and talk about journey into what art has done for people with trauma. And every year I suppose I'm encouraged to enter a piece of artwork in.
Good.
And I enjoy that. I look forward, and I've made great friends with the councillors and the workers up at Coburn City Council. And it's one of trust.
It's
of trust in that journey.
Well,
into where I come from.
So me, myself, and I am thinking, well, how about we have an exhibition of our talented people like yourself, and maybe do something leading up to Sorry Day, or who knows, there may be some opportunities, I think. So I'd like to sit down with you and talk through seriously how we can help yourself. I know Gail, Auntie Gail Yorkshire has also been painting. And Tony, you would know some painters as well that come out of the mission, eh?
I think some of the mob down south, back on Menang Country, are doing artwork these days. And I think it's that trade, you know, it's that... It's good for healing, but it's also, it's that ripple effect in terms of many of the kids from the Carolop days as well.
Of course.
That art and that legacy, and looking at Arnie's artwork yesterday, it's amazing artwork, and I get jealous because I can't paint.
So you've shown the way, you're showing a light, throwing a light on the Noongarrup Mission, the survivors from the Noongarrup Mission. And I'm trying to think if there are any artists around that may have spent some time in that awful place at Noongarrup Mission. Mm. So tell us more. What's happening now in the future for you?
Well, at the moment, I'm the artist in residence down at Notre Dame University.
Wow, okay.
But to me, it's the filler inner. I'm a nurse, a teacher. we do lectures. I'd be asked to make the dampers for the kids, so undergrads and graduation times and that I enjoy doing. I work alongside, we have a strong Aboriginal team down there to get our kids into the School of Medicine and into nursing and what they want to achieve. We also have scholarships and that that we get their that's involved with getting them to they need stethoscopes, just the basic things, uniforms, that path. But I'm also on the board of midwifery and research and elders board, and I retired 10 times, I might add, but. But that's not a word anymore.
No.
But, it's a good journey. Dr. David Paul, Associate Professor Clive Wally, I walk alongside of them, and also the Vice Chancellor.
Good on you.
A very understanding man and very compassionate to our cause in healing, and especially with our elders.
Good.
When we introduce ourselves to who we are.
if you just
what healing on country, our country, means. And we walk that shared path together with the undergrads and the doctors. And it shows when you go into hospitals how they say, hello, Auntie, I'm going to make you better. Well, let's have a look at what we can do today.
Thanks for talking to us. See, if you've just tuned in, we've been talking to an elder out there in our community, a stolen generation survivor from the dreadful Noengrat mission down south. It's been flattened now. So what else would you like to tell our listeners? Maybe we should keep our listeners informed now when we're going to have, when you're going to have an exhibition. So you better get a painting, girl. And I told you now, I put in an order yesterday, didn't I?
You sure did. Yeah, that's coming up. Not a problem, my dear. That's coming up because every time I do, I paint dolphins. I say, oh, well, I don't think this will sell. Oh, I don't think anybody will want this, but I have it there. And as soon as one of my old friends, Liz Bill from the John of God over in Mount Lawley, she said, oh, I just love that painting. I said, you can't have it. When I looked, she was saying, oh, I think it could fit in my car. And she did. But it's one of that that's appreciated by the wider community. It's one that they could see we've been from that journey where we've come back to express our strengths, I suppose, in what we've been through.
Good. Look, we're going to go to a song. Thank you so much for coming on the show, RTRFM 92.1. If you want to listen to our interview today, check out the website later on today. It'll be a podcast. And I think we're up to about 148 podcasts that are on the RTRFM website. So if you've just tuned in and missed out the interview with this delightful lady that I've known forever, ever and ever, Janisha Knapp, thank you for being on the show, bub. Really appreciate your time. We're going to go to another song. We heard Emily Weimer earlier. We're going to go to Emma Donovan now. Marinda's established their career here in Perth when there was a premiere of Sapphires. You remember that, Sapphires, Tonge?
Yeah. And I remember the Marindas as well, and very talented group.
They kicked off with Beehive Hair. I think that's the description of the 60s. So the Marindas kicked off, and they were local girls, and they just went crazy. Our mob went crazy for them. And, so Marindas, back like a black. I think it was black or back like a boomerang.
Ooh, might be the boomerang.
Welcome, Fred Penny.
Hello. Good day, Jim and Tonji.
Good morning, Fred. Welcome to the show. Who's your mob and where do you come from?
I'm a, Wilman Goreng Menang, down south. And, but I was born in Narrogin.
Fred, welcome to the show. Mortich Mag is a good news story, or we try to make a good news story. Sometimes we talk depressing material, and RTRFM 92.1 is also on Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM in Albany. So you talk Minang, well, we go to Minang country as well. And so, Fred, welcome to the show as a Stolen Generation survivor. Earlier we spoke to Janisha Knapp about her removal and the therapy, the healing that has been encompassed in the work she does. Well, we've got a bad connection, I think. Are we? You okay, Fred?
I can hear you.
Okay. So, Fred, we met up yesterday and we talked to our listeners earlier about the day we had redress. Maybe is there a radio on, Fred?
No, not on here. Might be that.
Okay, that sounds better. Yeah, we're just getting a bit of interference. So,
I've got my speaker on.
Yeah, that's going to interfere with the transmission.
Yeah. I'll take it off. Yeah.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, no, we had that interference, so that's gone across on air. So, Fred, welcome back again. I think our listeners have heard who your mob, Minang, Goreng, and Williman. So welcome to the show, and today we're sort of concentrating on what took place yesterday, but more importantly, what next, you know, and what are our people doing? And Janisha talked about her artwork, and she was fun to have on the show. And so welcome to Moorish Mag. You've been on the show before. Yeah. Next time you might have to bring your guitar in.
And, I might have to, yeah.
Yes. So, Fred, today is a special day. A special day because tomorrow there's a state funeral in Adelaide for a person that you know, a wonderful old lady that suffered the same sort of trauma as yourself and my co-host today, Tony, filling in for Nick Abraham. So tell us about Loja, how you met her, and what was your experience with her? Because a lot of people who might be listening wouldn't have a clue, or they would know from her experience that she was a very high-profile leader. So tell us about your involvement or interaction with her, please.
It was quite a few years ago. I can't remember the year exactly, but there was a time when the mainstream media, or people, some people in the mainstream media, were trying to minimise her, I suppose, and questioning her story that she was a stolen generation person, and they were saying things like, you know, it's not true. So basically, they were, you know, all the words gaslighting and everything.
Gaslighting.
And they showed, it was on, you know, on the media, and I looked at it. I didn't know her at all. But when I saw her face, and, you know, because the media jumped on it, and I saw her face, and she looked really sad, really sad. And I thought to myself, gee, they could be doing that to my mother, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, because she you know, she was a motherly figure, and so I don't know, just something at that moment, something inspired me to write some words down. And, you know, as with me being a musician, the words turned into, well, I put music to it and it turned into a song.
Lovely. Lovely. Yeah. Just as you were speaking, and I've told our listeners that I met the lovely lady 52 years ago, and we worked on the first voice, you know, the National Aboriginal Consultant Committee with the late Rob Riley, and it just occurred to me that when I last saw her, her life had been threatened. So it's probably about the same time you wrote this song. It was quite public that her life was being threatened because of the things she was saying, the lateral violence that occurred with her, not only with non-Aboriginal people, but I suspect our own people as well. Fred, did you get that impression?
Oh, not from what I, not the media story I was following, but for me it was, I don't know if I can say his name, one media fellow that's not very well liked.
I think we know who you're talking about, but it doesn't matter.
Anyway, I got a bolt to the door anyway. So I said, I for me it was the media people that, you know, we know the media can make or break you. The media can paint a good picture of you or a bad picture of you. That's a risk there. And so it was that those people, and then I wrote a song, and I thought, oh, man, and, you know, being respectful because I didn't know her, I thought maybe I should get her a blessing for this, to produce it, you see? And I ended up tracking her down. I had no idea. But then they said, the University of Adelaide. And there was actually a Noongar girl working there, and she put me in, well, she asked, she said she'd get the old lady to contact me, which she did. I told her why I did it.
Yeah.
And I asked her if she could give me her blessing. And she says, oh, yeah, no, without hesitation.
Good on you.
Yeah, no worries. And so from there, I went into the studio, produced the song, the song which is called Lowitja Lowitja.
Right.
And yeah, so it was professionally done in the studio. I sent her a copy, and she listened to it, and she said she was happy, and I had her blessing. And I'll say I'll print a few off, you know, and
good on you.
Send her some.
Look, Fred, do you mind if we play this song now and come back and talk some more?
Absolutely.
Good on you. Look, yeah, this is RTR FM 92.1. If you like what you're listening to, spin us a yarn, 0405921921, 0405921921. We're talking to Fred Penny, a Stolen Generation person who's I'm really amazed that he's now put a song to a wonderful lady who's having a state funeral in Adelaide tomorrow. Lowitja Lowitja, here it is. Have a listen on Murish Mag.
What a beautiful song.
Thank you, Bob.
Lowitja Lowitja by Fred Penny. And Fred, it's one of those things that we listen to those words and you and I can relate to those because she's like a big sister to us, even though I never met her. But we come from that profound group of family, don't we?
Yeah, but even an auntie as well, because she was, a lot older than us. And, as I said, she was a mother figure for many people.
Mm.
And the funny thing I said to her, because I'd already put the words in, and I said, how many kids have you got? Because I put mother, wife and sister too.
Mm.
And she said, I've got no kids. But she said, well, I've got a lot of nieces and nephews and people that, treat me like a mother. And so she said, yeah. I said, do you want me to take it out? She said, no, leave it in there.
Mm.
So.
And Fred, every time she came to Perth, you always had an opportunity to catch up and have a cuppa with her. And,
absolutely.
And I believe that, you know, at the wake after her funeral, that the family have got your blessing to play this song.
Well,
yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a bit too much to ask for to play at the formal ceremony. But apparently, because it's a state thing, but... I've been told that they're going to play it at the wake.
Good.
So that's wonderful, yeah.
Mm. We're talking to Fred Penny, Stolen Generation survivor from Wandering Mission. And, Fred, I've got to say that's probably the best song I've heard from you.
Oh, thanks for that, Jim. That's really... that makes my songwriting worthwhile.
Well, I think the fact too, I don't know whether Murish Mag has played it before or it's been made public anywhere else on Noongar Radio or Great Southern FM. Have you allowed it to be played in publicly elsewhere?
I think Noongar Radio has played it. Yeah.
Good. Well, this time it's going to go to Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM in Albany. So being a Gurang, Minang, Willaman man, you'll have listeners down there who are going to listen to this song tomorrow and say, boy.
My own mob.
Your mob, and they'll be saying, hey, that's the best song I heard Fred Penny sing, like me. But they may not believe me. They may not agree with me. I got to say, without sort of brown nosing. But listen, it's a great song. It's really been a pleasure having you on the show, Fred. And listen, there are knockers out there. And I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they're oxygen thieves. But that's the way the world is, you know. We've got our haters, we've got our people that. I mean, and she was a highly respected woman, so I'm pleased to go there, and I'm happy to represent you, Fred, and say
to the
relatives that I know that bloke who sang that song. I'm very proud of him. So, Fred, it's been an honour. Mm. It's always an honour to know you, Fred. You should know that from me.
Well, I've got a cousin over there.
Yeah.
His cousin, I'll ask her if she can make it there to the wake, and if you're there, I'll tell her to look for you.
Look out for me. How will she know me?
Tall, dark and handsome.
Look, who's brown nosing now? Fred, thanks for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. And you'll be back again sometime. You've been a friend to Murish Mag before. And as you know now, it's Noongar Radio is a partner to RTR FM's Murish Mag and Great Southern FM in Albany. So we've been on Minang Country now for quite some time. So, Fred, your mob down there are going to listen tomorrow and they'll be saying, hey, Murditch, that man, eh? He's on Murditch Maggie, Murditch Marmon, eh? Fred, thanks again.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to...
Look, a real pleasure, Fred, real pleasure. Thank you so much. Let's go to a song. Okay.
Thanks, Fred.
We're going to wind up, I think. I'm getting the wind up. What does that mean? Wind up, wind up, wind up. Look, British Mag, for another week. Thanks for listening in, 92.1 and Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. So we'll say goodbye now and tune in next week. And I'm hoping goodbye. That Tonji might be back again.
Yeah, I'll be back next week, Jim. And goodbye, listeners, and take care and make sure you look after yourselves out there.
Thank you.